Bang, 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 bang.
I got to learn the Globetrotters whistling thing.
Oh, better. That's what that was.
Sup, nerds? It's basketball. Welcome to Horse, a basketball podcast about everything except for the wins and losses. My name is Mike Schubert, and I'm joined by my trusted co-host, the Team USA social media account posting that not every single player on the team can spin a basketball, to me now feeling a lot better about not being able to spin a basketball on my finger. It's Adam on the wall. Adam, how's it going?
Well, I've got breaking news. I am also completely incapable of spinning a basketball on my finger. I was at one point able to do that thing where you kind of like roll it around your arms that you
I
used
can
to
do
see.
That. Yeah,
in like the squeaky Nike mixtape and one sort of streetball thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, cannot spin a basketball on my finger.
I never could. And I remember trying to do it when I saw the Harlem Globetrotters. They came to my school mm-hmm. as like a pep rally type thing. And I remember trying to do it, and I just never could get it. And then for years, I just wrote it off as, well, you can't do it in a game. So that's why
that
I don't know how to
yeah.
do it. I never took the time to learn it. So since they posted that video and Steph can't do it, LeBron could only barely do it, it made me feel really good. So
absolutely.
I think we need to be more open with our failures and shortcomings mm-hmm. to make other people feel better.
I love
remember
it.
That social media is grass is always greener, but sometimes your grass is brown, even if you're Steph Curry. So
I like it.
There we go.
Beautifully mm-hmm. said.
Yes. Now, we've got some basketball to discuss. And in order to get ready to discuss that basketball, I think we've got to head to the Tomb Memorial locker room where there's no expectations for you to spin basketballs on your finger.
No, nor should there be.
No. You know who is always exceeding expectations, though?
I would say our producer-level patrons and all of our patrons who I am told can all spin a basketball on their fingers. It might be a lie, but that's the rumor going around.
Yeah, we're at least operating under the assumption that you all can, so you're allowed
sure.
to let us know if otherwise, but we think that you all can do it. But yes, shout out to our producer-level patrons, Polly Burge, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Steph Curry can hit threes, but he can't spin a basketball on his finger.
Bang! And wah, wah, wah,
wah. Hi, Trish, Chase Underulo, Haley Zink, Naked Rachel, Sydney Crosby is a vampire, Chelsea's cousin, Ginger Spurs boy, Balls to the Walls, and Mots Forley.
I love that we're so much on the same wavelength. And this happens very frequently that like I came up with that Steph Curry reference and I don't think you even saw it. And you still opened the episode referring to that exact thing. Love it.
That is correct. I had not looked at this. So we are just on the same wavelength. Now, you know who else is on the same wavelength as us?
Probably people who have a lot of tabs open and help the world in so doing.
Yup. So Tab for a Cause is our sponsor for this episode. You can go to tabforacause.org/horse and install it into your browser just with like three clicks. It is super duper simple. And then every time you open a tab, you raise money for charity, which is really cool. Adam, how many tabs do you have open right now? I only have three.
I have 20, but I am more proud of the fact that I left for Europe like 2 weeks ago, and I didn't even have to charge my computer once because I opened it like two times for 30 minutes, and I'm really happy about that.
There you go. Amazing. And those tabs were marinating for you
so
that when you got back, they were extra spicy. But yes, you can set up Tab for a Cause quite easily. You raise money every time you open a new tab, and you can customize the homepage and stuff, and then you can pick what charitable organizations are supported by Tab for a Cause. So that's tabforacause.org/horse, tabforacause.org/horse. And now, unless you're listening on Patreon, where you get access to ad-free episodes, you're going to hear words from a few sponsors who make it feasible for us to not be in the red making this podcast. But once those ads are complete, we'll get back into this episode of Horse. All right, Adam, what do you got going on?
All right, not a lot of new stuff since the last time we recorded, but I'll do a couple quick plugs. So if you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, I'm going to be in Denver later this week. So please come and see me. I'm going to be headlining a show on Thursday the 18th. All of the info is at my website and all of the other places you can find me. I have other shows going on in Denver, but if you're going to pick one to come to, please try to come to the Thursday one. But I will be in Denver Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then in Boulder on Sunday. Then I'm also going to be headlining Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington, Vermont. That is going to be Sunday, August 11th. And then these things are not on my site yet, but I am going to be in Albuquerque the weekend of September, I think it's like the 26th and 27th. But as always, I'll have more stuff up soon. What about you?
I've got the same things. Shout out to the folks who came to my shows recently, but we've got some upcoming ones as well. I'll be in Berkeley, California on August 3rd, Nashville on August 24th, and Atlanta on August 25th. And then soon we will be putting stuff up for sale for my fall run of shows, New York on September 23rd, DC September 26th, Toronto October 5th, New Orleans October 24th, Dallas October 30th, and Philadelphia November 7th. So I will be putting up stuff once that's live. You can go to my website, schub.es, for ticket links whenever they are live. And I'll probably just put them up with like a coming soon for the ones that aren't live, just so people can recall those dates and not have to memorize things that we've said in horse episodes.
Sweet.
Alrighty, shall we get into NBQ&A?
Yes, so we have a question. I honestly don't know how long this is, but we have a running tally of questions that we have not gotten to. This one's a pretty basic question, but a good question and timely given that the Olympics are coming up. So I believe it's pronounced Kira, otherwise Kyra, but Kira asks, what do you think is the biggest basketball nation after the U.S.? I don't know. I will say that I was just out of the country and it had been a while since I'd been to Europe. I was genuinely flabbergasted at the amount of NBA gear I saw everywhere. Like, I love how global of a sport it has become. I would say more Jordan jerseys than anything else, which is kind of cool for a guy who hasn't played in 25 years. But it was like Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, and then some random ones. But I think, I mean, in terms of talent, I think like Spain is probably up there. Obviously, Canada has a lot of basketball going on. Do you have like a convincing answer for who you think is right behind the U.S.?
For me, and I might be biased because I live there, but I might pick France. Mm. France really loves basketball. They take it very seriously. They've had very talented players in the past, Tony Parker, Boris Diaw, and now they've got, you know, Rudy Gobert, Victor Wembanyama. There's a bunch of French people in this draft that just happened. It feels like they are becoming more and more of a prospect hub where it's like, oh yeah, this guy played in France, and it's less like a dig and more of just a fact.
Right.
So I think France might be up there. They just seem to really enjoy it. I was very much able to play pickup basketball quite regularly when I lived there, and it wasn't that hard. There were courts all over the place. And I think during my time there, they hosted, I don't know if it was Eurobasket or a different tournament. I'm pretty sure it was Eurobasket. And I just remember tickets were mad expensive and all of the games were sold out, especially the ones with France. And I remember distinctly people asking me like, oh, are you going to go to Eurobasket? And I was like, I live in America. I'm good. I'll go to PSG soccer games, but I don't need to see subpar basketball. I'm fine. So I might pick France. They got a lot of good folk and they also seem to still be on the rise and they've already been good. But I agree with you that Spain is up there as well, at least from an international or Olympic perspective. It's always like Spain is always one you got to worry about if you are not from Spain and you're worrying about a team to play against.
Also,
but
China,
I think France is on the rise.
I mean, feel like, I mean,
yeah, just from pure stats of numbers, China for sure,
and
Canada's rising as well.
Yeah,
I would say Canada's quite high as well. I don't know how popular it is in terms of viewership and everything, but when you look at like the Canadian team, more and more it's like stacked with NBA players, even though America just stomped them in an exhibition game.
Right.
But still.
And I have a feeling it's going to be increasing in popularity in Puerto Rico, thanks to one Mr. Jose Alvarado.
Yes, yes. So it's getting bigger all over, which is fun. And it makes things like the Olympics more entertaining in that it's not just America destroying everybody. It's going to be some tough games ahead.
Totally. And I also have to throw in the first ever positive sound effect football reference, because in this case, I'm talking about the real football.
Yes.
If you ever have the opportunity to be in Europe during Euro Cup or World Cup, oh my gosh. I'm not a huge football guy. I've never had more fun watching sports with people.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I got a notification from my buddy Tim that it was the 10-year anniversary of that soccer match when Brazil lost to Germany 7-1. And I was in Germany at a sports bar in this tiny little town called Duisburg with Tim during that game. And until my bachelor party, that was the drunkest I've ever been. Because my God, like, it was wild. It was ridiculous.
I'm surprised it didn't get violent. I'm sure people were pretty upset about the outcome.
Oh, I mean, thankfully, it was only, I was in Germany, so it was only German people there. So,
oh, I'm sorry. Germany won 7-1.
Germany won 7-1. Yeah. And it was against Brazil.
Had it been the other way, I feel like that would have not been a fun
No, that would have been a bad situation. Yeah. This was a very fun situation.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I can also attest, if you are in a place such as Europe when a European-based soccer event is happening, it's a good time. It's a good time. But we're here to talk about basketball. So let's get into full court press. Get it like the news?
I do.
So we have already alluded to it, but Olympic stuff is going on. We have some exhibition games happening. They've been doing promo stuff. There was a bit of drama in that Kawhi Leonard was originally on the team. He was, it seems like, dismissed, but it feels kind of mutual, but he's not going to be on the team anymore because he was not doing well enough with his injury recovery because he got injured towards the end of the season, thought he could play, and they're kind of like, nah. So he's not on the team anymore, and they replaced him with Derek White, which the drama around this is that Jaylen Brown was not selected. He feels like a natural selection. He feels like a kind of similar player to Kawhi, and he was upset, and this is certainly like a thing that does have real value, even though Jaylen Brown is a conspiracy theorist kind of guy. He was thinking it's because he's not a Nike athlete, and Nike does have a lot of influence with the Olympic team. They put a lot of money into the Olympic team. They've done stuff in the past, like where people who weren't Nike athletes, when they took the team photo, they made them stand in the back, or they put stuff in front of their shoes, or made them stand to the side so they could crop out their feet. There's definitely been weird stuff that's happened with Nike and the Olympic team before. So I do think that has validity.
Yeah, but like, however, Curry is a huge Under Armour athlete and he's on the team.
Right. Yeah. So I guess the thing you can more get away with it is like a fringe guy like this. But I will say, from a basketball perspective, I do think Derek White makes more sense for the team. I think Kawhi did not make as much sense for the team, because when you look at like the roster, they have a bunch of very talented wings, and they have enough talented wings who can still defend well also. Whereas at the guard position, they don't have as many very defensive-minded wings. It's kind of like Drew Holiday and that's it, because Halliburton doesn't play defense. Steph Curry puts an effort, but he's not a great defender. Drew Holiday plays great defense, and then that's kind of it. So if you can add another guard, and Derek White is so versatile that I think he is actually a great addition to the Olympic roster. I think if you are just asking, is Derek White better than Jaylen Brown, I think you say no, but I think Derek White is a better fit. So though I don't want to fully discredit Jaylen Brown's conspiracy theory stuff, which like I think is legit, I don't think that's 100% of the reason. Could it have been a factor? Sure. But I also think Derek White's a great fit on the replacement side.
No, and the interesting thing is, to your point, like, the best player isn't necessarily always the best fit. And historically, it's like the best players make the team. They beat the crap out of everybody anyway. Speaking of which, I actually got to go past the main stadium in Barcelona, where the greatest team of all time, the Dream Team in 1992, got to play their b-ball. But the point is, like, it would never happen probably, but there's a case to be made that someone like an Alex Caruso or Josh Hart would be really valuable on an Olympic team, even though they're objectively not one of the top 12 or 15 players in the league, just because of what they do on the court. So, yeah, I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I think it's similar to how Tyrese Halliburton got the nod over Jalen Brunson even before he got hurt, because Halliburton makes more sense on the team as someone who passes more, and he was leading the league in assists per game before he got hurt. And Jalen Brunson is more of a scorer guy, and you don't need to be another scorer guy when you have Kevin Durant and LeBron and Steph and Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid all on the same team. So I was never upset when Jalen Brunson didn't get picked, even though he's definitely better than Tyrese Halliburton. It's a fit thing. And sometimes...
Right. Plus, he couldn't have played anyway because he's recovering from
injury. But I think that selection happened before he got hurt. But still, like, I don't know. Sometimes it's a fit thing. And I understand why Jaylen Brown is upset and tweeted things like, "I'm not afraid of you or your resources." And he also tweeted, "At Nike, we really doing this," when the decision first came in.
Wow. So maybe the real conspiracy is that they just don't want anybody named Jaylen B on the team.
Ooh, they have. Yep, there it is. They are namist. How dare they? How dare they do that? So, also in news, free agency is still going on. Your Chicago Bulls have done some stuff. Notably, they have traded DeMar DeRozan for not that much stuff. So they did a sign and trade with the Kings. A sign and trade for an unaware is basically when you will do a trade where there are certain incentives to stay with your original team. Usually you can get more money, or there are things like bird rights that allow teams to go over a particular tax burden to sign you. So sometimes if a guy is going to leave anyway, you might do a sign and trade just for like minimal stuff, so that that player gets a better contract situation. And then because you have to trade things in order to make a trade happen, whether it's players, picks, both, then you'll do that. And then if you're the team who's going to quote unquote lose the player, you don't lose him for nothing. So that's what happened with the Kings and the Bulls. And the Bulls traded DeMar away and received Chris Duarte, who's like a young player who had a great rookie season and then has not been super great since.
He was on the Pacers originally, right?
Yeah, Pacers, then the Kings, now in the Bulls. Yeah. They traded for Chris Duarte and 2 second-round picks and cash considerations, baby,
nice.
To the Chicago Bulls. But then it became a three-team trade where the Kings did a bit of a salary dump situation with Harrison Barnes to the Spurs. And now the Spurs get an unprotected 2031 pick swap with the Kings, which, like, that's really good because the Kings might be bad in 7 years.
Yeah,
and it's just a confusing thing to me. As is with a couple of these trades, much like, I don't know if we discussed it on the pod, the Caruso and Josh Giddey trade.
Ugh.
It's just another thing of like, I see what the Bulls are doing, but I also don't see why they're going the next step. The Caruso-Giddey trade, I get it. You're trading a guy who's better for a contending team, for a young guy that might have some upside. But also the Thunder have a million picks, so aren't you getting any picks? And then similar thing with this. You're the Bulls. You're not going to be good for a while. Just accept the bad salary dump situation of Harrison Barnes, who's still a good player and some team might want to trade you for. And then also get that pick swap yourself. Don't let the Spurs
just get it for nothing.
I'm glad
the Bulls are finally doing something instead of nothing, because there's been a lot of nothing for a long time. And like, clearly they're going to be a bad team next year. I probably won't even renew my league pass because frankly, they don't deserve my money. But the thing that really bothers me as a Bulls fan is like, you were bad at the middle of last year. Why not do this when people had more time left on their contracts and more value and teams were more desperate? Like, you definitely could have gotten more for Caruso at the trade deadline. You certainly could have gotten more for DeRozan. Absolutely for someone like an Andre Drummond, who his contract ended and now he, I think, where did he sign? Is he with
on the Sixers, and
right?
He had a lot of interest from a lot of different teams.
Yeah, really, just really, really poorly managed basketball, so... Yes, that has indeed happened. We did discuss the Mikal Bridges situation, so congratulations again to you on that. Is there anything else that we missed that we need to touch on?
I think the perfect way to wrap it up is to continue off of the DeMar DeRozan trend into just what is happening with Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us in the NBA is fantastic right now. So I don't know if we talked about the streamed concert that he did, which is amazing, but if you're super duper unaware, Kendrick Lamar and Drake have been in a rap beef. Kendrick Lamar easily won it. It is undeniable that he destroyed him, cementing it by doing a live concert that was streamed on Amazon Prime. So a lot of people saw it, in addition to the lot of people who were there at the concert in LA, where he brought a bunch of people on stage, including DeMar DeRozan and Russell Westbrook, which is cool. And DeMar is from Los Angeles, but he played for the Toronto Raptors for years. So that's a very targeted sort of like, he's from Kendrick's hometown, but he played in Drake's hometown for a while. And for DeMar to just wholeheartedly embrace the Kendrick side of things is very fun. And then now you have the situation where DeMar DeRozan was in the Not Like Us music video, in addition to being at this live show where they played Not Like Us 6 times in a row, 5 performances and then 1 instrumental. It was unreal. I was losing my mind as a Drake hater and a Kendrick lover. Huge day for me specifically. But also, apparently there are reports that Not Like Us is the anthem of this current Olympic team. And they're blasting it in the practice arena, in the game arena, in the locker room, all this sort of stuff. And it's just so hilarious. And it's especially funny because Drake for years has tried to like buddy up to NBA players. There's all these photos of him like awkwardly, over cheekily smiling with NBA players who seem mildly interested.
Pretending and to like, be distraught when Klay Thompson got hurt.
Right. Like, there's definitely a lot of cringe Drake NBA stuff where people seem to like him, but not like overwhelmingly. And now just to see everyone seemingly take the Kendrick side of things is very funny. And I personally am enjoying it. And DeMar is getting some love, and it's you know, it's just interesting all around, and it's funny, and you can't argue. It's a banger. Like, when you hear it in an arena setting, it's really good. Like, it sounds really good on arena speakers. It's undeniable. Like, I haven't seen it at a game yet, but I saw Missy Elliott in concert, and they were playing Not Like Us like during the like in between acts music, and like in an arena it just hits. There's something about it that track just hits.
The
really
irony
hard.
Of it is that like 10 years ago Drake and Meek Mill had a beef, and at that time Drake came out with Back to Back, which then was this like thing that exceeded and went past the beef and just became like a hit song, and now the same thing has happened to him, and it's kind of funny.
Kind of funny. Yeah. Well,
Drake and Kendrick, come on the pod. We'll
yes,
we'll talk
come on the
it
pod.
Out.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we're happy to host you. But yes, that has been Full Court Press, Get It Like the News. And what we're going to be doing for the rest of this episode is revisiting our NBA drama draft that we did at the beginning of the season. So we will be revisiting how well we did in terms of that draft. Were the dramatic teams that we thought would be dramatic, were they actually dramatic? Were the boring teams boring? And we will just kind of see how we went. So we will now pass it along to that segment. Okay, and now for the main portion of this episode, we are going to be revisiting our drama draft. As you all know, we do a drama draft at the beginning of every NBA season to decide and guess who we think will be the most dramatic in terms of all the different things that go on outside of the courts and, you know, sometimes on the court. And I believe last year we did a brief revisiting, but this year we're going to do a full-fledged. Let's see how we did. We can kind of see which of Adam and I's teams, which one ended up truly being more dramatic. So, Adam, how about you take us on this journey of revisiting what we said from many moons ago?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, this is a historic moment, an historic moment, some are saying. I believe this is the first time.
I don't get why people do that. It makes no sense.
I think it's a British thing. I don't know.
It's stupid. It starts with an H. It doesn't start with a vowel, and you don't pronounce historic historic.
Sometimes it'll be like an hotel. It makes me absolutely
no.
Nutty.
Come on.
In it.
There are rules.
There used to be. There used to be, and they don't exist anymore. But all that to say, for the very first time in the history of the basketball media landscape, this is going to be two people holding themselves accountable for things they predicted months ago. I mean, it's never been done before, so this is pretty good stuff.
We're really blazing some trails here.
Off the top of your head, do you remember? So you had the first pick. Do you remember who you picked as the most dramatic team?
Most dramatic team. Gosh, it was so long ago. It feels like there was an obvious choice, and I'm blanking. I'm not going to pull up the list. I'm just going to pull up a list of every NBA team so I can just look at the logos and see if I have like a clear consensus. Because at this point, Kyrie and stuff, that wasn't like a huge deal in Dallas, but I feel like they're going to be high up there. I had the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Did I pick the Grizzlies because of Ja Morant stuff?
No, you did not. Your number one pick was the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, that's right. That's what was going on. The James Harden thing. Yeah. Okay, no, that makes sense.
Right.
Good call, me. Yeah, I stand by that. And I think they were pretty high.
Yeah, and it's wild because, like, to your point, so much has happened since then that it's, like, almost easy to forget that that's how the season began, was with all this drama about, like,
that
James Harden's not going to play. Yeah, for sure. So your summary, which I completely agree with, was, like, the James Harden situation was carrying over. There was Joel Embiid and the concerns about if he wanted to leave. There's the new coach, Nick Nurse, the whole ownership situation. And there just seemed like so many factors that it seemed like the logical choice, which I agreed with at the time. And I guess we'll have to relitigate whether or not they were, in fact, the most dramatic team. I would say probably they weren't.
I don't think so. The thing is, like, there wasn't as much drama. There was just like frustrations with the basketball, which is less dramatic and more just like, I don't know. Expected. You know, you had the Embiid injury, which happens every year. Mm-hmm. And then Tobias Harris is bad, which happens every year. And Maxey was really good. And I think that kind of reduced the drama. I think there would have been much more drama if Tyrese Maxey didn't take a huge leap, which he did. So I still think there was drama there, but it wasn't so much like I was anticipating a nastier Harden thing and an Embiid forcing his way out thing. And that didn't really happen. They just kind of, they had a good year, and then Embiid got hurt, and then they lost to the Knicks. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, they did. The other thing that was funny that I almost forgot about as well was that in addition to all of that, they also signed Patrick Beverley to a one-year deal, which is like, it's already a combustible situation. Let's bring in Pat Beverley.
Voice of reason.
Yeah, Patrick exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so for my first pick, this is really interesting. Wow. Oh my gosh. This is fun because I had no memory of this. I picked one of the two final teams left in the league. I picked the Mavericks pretty much because of Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like there would be some sort of drama involving Kyrie because there seems to always be. And yeah, I guess I was concerned that he and Doncic might not get along with one another. And Yeah, this is, I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean, I think Kyrie, it makes sense, and Luka. The thing is, no one expected the Mavs to be this good.
Right.
And I think Kyrie always has something happening. So I agreed with the pick because it just felt like you've got Kyrie, who the heck knows. They had just come off that season where they tanked on purpose
right.
to miss the playoffs and keep their pick, which ended up being great because Derek Lively is very, very good. And I think it was a totally rational thing at the time. Like there was like rumblings of like Luka might force his way out.
Right.
So I think they just like went into the season with such drama potential.
It's never a bad drama draft pick to go top five with any team that has Kyrie.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So.
No.
Yeah. Now, again, very interesting with your next pick, the third overall pick, you went with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, yeah. I thought there'd be more like Zion stuff. And I think there were more expectations, but I think the Pelicans were just like, they're just pretty good. And it just kind of.
There was also stuff about like a supposed Zion Williamson affair at that time. So there were like some off the court rumblings.
He was just fresh off the thing with like the Instagram. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is, so far, not the most dramatic top three for us.
No. I'm genuinely like your number one pick makes sense. But looking back, it's hard to put myself in a mindset where the Mavs and Pelicans would have been the second and third team's pick. But hey, this is why we watch the games, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the next pick. All right. I had the number four overall pick. This one always makes sense and arguably will be even more dramatic next year. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, just a solid, always a solid pick, especially when they're not going to be good. That was a good one. I think you've done quite well.
Yeah. So the main rationale there was like, any team with LeBron, you're working on bot time because you don't know how long he's going to keep playing at this level. There's always the Anthony Davis injury situation. Like, can he stay on the court? Can he not stay on the court? Are they happy with the coach that they have, which ultimately, obviously, they weren't totally satisfied with Darvin Ham. So, yeah, that was the number four pick. And then let's see, your number five overall pick was, drumroll, please, what do we have? Oh, we talked about the Lakers for a long time. Okay, you went with the land of the North.
Oh, the Raptors.
The Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, I guess they ended up not having as much drama just because they finally decided that they were bad. And in previous years, they were in denial about being bad, and they just actually embraced it.
I would say that if we're going to be really generous, they actually had a lot of drama because who had more drama than Drake? And I mean, Drake considers himself part of the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. But no, I think truly, like with the basketball NBA season, they weren't really that dramatic. I think they just finally, they were just really bad off the gate and then realized, all right, let's trade these guys.
Yeah.
And once you go into tank mode, no one cares about you. So you can't really be dramatic.
Right. One thing that's fun, though, is that you mentioned if they decide to sell off, they'll probably going to trade OG Anunoby. And look where OG Anunoby ended up.
So excited. Gosh,
there you go.
Please, Knicks front office, resign him. Do whatever it takes. Get him back.
Right.
We were good when he was on the court.
And the other thing about that that makes it so funny that they traded with each other was that the Raptors had been caught stealing information from the Knicks, which was like another layer to
why.
Oh, yeah,
that was another factor in it. Yeah, and that, I think, fizzled out because of the trade.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so with my next pick, I went with... Oh, interesting. The Golden State Warriors. I feel like that's actually a very good pick.
That you are, I think, very much winning. I mean, at that point, it wasn't anything except for, I guess, just the potential of Draymond. But Draymond was way more dramatic than I think anyone could have anticipated this year.
Yeah, what I said was they're coming off a season where they suffered a disappointing second-round loss. Steph, Clay, and Draymond are not getting any younger. Trading Jordan Poole for Chris Paul certainly doesn't bring down the median age. And then this is never a good thing. I compared them to the New York Mets of a couple years ago where they were like banking on a bunch of 40-year-olds to continue being elite. And obviously that's not how that works all the time. And as we saw, like Clay Thompson, it was like heartbreaking to watch this year
where he
was taken out of the rotation. It was his last year of his contract. It's pretty obvious that he's not going to be back with the Warriors. At least I wouldn't think so. I mean, unless he takes like a veteran's minimum sort of thing. But the way he left that final game, it certainly seemed to indicate that that was what was happening. So, yeah, that was most of it. Obviously, I would say Draymond is kind of in a similar category to Kyrie, where like there's never not drama with Draymond. We literally had a situation this year where Draymond got ejected in like the first 2 minutes of the game, and Steph Curry looked like he was crying on the court. Like, just a lot. And also the thing where, was it Nurkic that he like smacked the shit out of? He just like kind of like backhanded in the face?
Yes, that's what sparked the big suspension, was that particular, he had like some flagrants and then he did that one. And then it was like, all right, bud, take a step back.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, went to therapy, settled himself, and then went right back to his same crap once he got back.
Yeah, he was told that he had to take a leave of absence to ostensibly like work on his anger management issues. And I believe that the suspension was like for an indefinite period of time. And then yeah, I guess there was someone who deemed like, okay, he's ready to come back, and then immediately went back to his old nonsense. But hey, you know, he's got a podcast, so he's probably going to be a future NBA head coach. let's go to number seven, which, man, this is a tough one. And I got to say, you got it absolutely right. My Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I honestly, in retrospect, and I would have drafted them way higher. I just knew that you absolutely, and I think I might have even said this in the episode, I knew that you would not pick them. So I knew that I could have dropped them farther and farther and farther. But like, it was pretty crystal clear.
You said, I will ask you this objectively, is there a team in the NBA, Charlotte Hornets aside, with a worse outlook right now than the Chicago Bulls? And then you described them as being in basketball purgatory, which could not be a better description of where they're at. You nailed it.
Look, I mean, I stand by. I mean, now I think the Wizards have probably entered potentially, but at least the Wizards have some fun young guys, like Bilal Coulibaly is pretty fun. And they've got a high draft pick in this draft. But like the Bulls, it's tough, man.
It really speaks to the amount of delusion that I allow myself to live with, that in this prediction episode, I was talking up Javon Carter and Torrey Craig. I mean, just...
Oh, two people who you grew to very much despise as the season went on.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. And it's only gotten worse, so good stuff. All right, let's go ahead and get to our next one. Now, the interesting thing about this is we're doing this a little bit of a ways in advance, so it's possible that the Bulls are more or less dramatic, but either way, we're relitigating the past, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We're only talking about last year, how dramatic.
The way that I'm at, we're recording this June 25th, a little bit early, but the draft is in like 2 days, and in my mind, that's the start of the next season.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I think we are definitively at, like, the drama has completed.
Yes.
For the season we are discussing. Anything that happens on draft day and beyond is the beginning of next season. So yes. I think this is actually perfect timing.
I would agree with that. All right. Let's see who your next pick was.
No, I just picked the Bulls.
So yes. So you picked the Bulls, and then I picked the Memphis Grizzlies, and boy, oh boy, I had a good draft.
That was good. I think it was a good pick. The problem was just the all the injury stuff.
Right. I guess it was less drama than it was just them completely falling
apart
physically.
They were just terrible because what happened? John missed the first 25 games of the year. And then did he get hurt and miss the rest of the season?
Yeah. He was out the first 25 games for the suspension, came back, and I would say played less than 10 games before he was out for the season. I guess that's true. There wasn't as much drama as there was just like bad luck. Cause I don't believe that Ja had any big off the court stuff this season, right?
It was all just the fact that he had the suspension. And then the real problem was just the Grizzlies were everyone got hurt.
Right.
So it was like kind of like the Raptors, except instead of just being bad and then blowing it up, it was just everybody got hurt. So they were just really, really bad.
Your next pick was the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, this is an interesting one because this year, obviously, everything like really worked out for them. And your rationale was as follows. You said the Timberwolves have the correct level of expectations of being good, residual drama of being kind of bad from last year, meaning the previous season. And then you said there's always the discussion around the Rudy Gobert trade, the fact that they traded a lot to get him and that he wasn't that good and didn't necessarily fit as well with Karl Anthony Towns. But honestly, Gobert had a great season.
They were good.
They were very good. Anthony Edwards, I would say this is the year that he became a superstar. Like, if he wasn't before, I think he pretty much solidified himself as like one of the best players and certainly the most fun players in the league. But I don't think that your pick was wrong. I think it was the sort of thing where like things worked out for them. But if things had not worked out for them, I think that it would have just made that trade look that much worse. And then you're like, all right, what's the outlook long term? Like, do we build around Anthony Edwards? Do we not have a good enough team. But honestly, I feel like their ceiling, if they make the right moves, like they could certainly contend for a championship. I think we saw a lot from them this year.
Yeah, I think winning solves everything, and winning solved their drama problems. The Gobert trade went from, oh my God, how could they, to, oh, all right, not a bad trade.
You're right. All right, my next pick was the world champion Boston Celtics. However, I agree with why I said it, and why I said it was, if they don't win the championship, yeah, it's going to be bad, because they should, right, and they're the best team, and they've made all these moves, but they did. So
they won. That's the key.
Yeah. The wild thing is that the Vegas odds had them at the highest prediction for win total. The over-under was 54.5, and they blew past that fairly handily. Yeah. I think they were 64-18, if I remember correctly.
Something like that.
But I also wondered to what degree trading Marcus Smart was going to impact them. And I guess it really didn't impact them at all. And because Drew Holiday is basically like Marcus Smart with better offense.
He's Marcus Smart, but smarter. So he's Marcus genius.
Nice. And also the Porzingis thing, like whether or not that was going to work out. But yeah, clearly it did.
That was a valid thing. The big concern, and the reason I at least kind of doubted the Celtics going into the year, was they're relying on KP and Al Horford to not get hurt. And then they didn't until the very end of the year KP got hurt. And by that point, they were fine. And the rest of the East was just so destroyed by injuries,
right,
that it didn't really matter come the playoffs.
Yeah. Your next pick was the Los Angeles Clippers, which always seemed to be a good choice. And you did correctly predict that they would get James Harden and that that would increase the drama. I guess there wasn't like
really
that
didn't.
Much drama with James Harden. They just underachieved again.
Yeah, the thing was, it started with drama, because remember they lost like the first like five or six games with him on the team, and he played awfully. I think the big thing with the Clippers was that it was a weird season with them, because they like started with Harden, were really bad. Then they had that run where they won like 21 games out of 25. They were like 21-4 or something. Mm-hmm. And then they were just like kind of bad. And then Kawhi got hurt. Like it was just, they kind of just went back to being the normal Clippers.
Right.
So I think there was less drama, because it was just kind of like business as usual.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I feel like there would have been more drama if they were either better for longer or better later. Mm-hmm. But it was like this weird thing of like, they started off kind of cold, got the Harden trade done, still were a little cold. Then they were really good. Then there were some injuries. And then it was like this lingering, well, if the Clippers figure it out by the end of the year. So
sure.
I feel like everyone had no drama, because they were just like, well, if they can just piece it together, and everyone's just waiting for them to do it. And then they never did.
Well,
so yeah, my drama draft's not looking good right now.
Well, but they're also a little bit like the Warriors, where it's like, it's becoming clear that you can't expect to win when your whole team is like guys who were superstars but are now 10 years removed from being that mm-hmm. young anymore, right? Like, it doesn't it feel a little bit similar?
Right. And I think it was just like no one was surprised that this happened, which is why I think that there's no drama. Like, oh, Kawhi Leonard got hurt at the end of the year? No way. Like,
right.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. All right. My next pick, and I guess I was kind of wrong about this just because they were profoundly irrelevant, was the Charlotte Hornets. And the rationale for that was really like Miles mm-hmm. Bridges and all of his like horrific off the court stuff, and the fact that he's playing again. I guess there's some drama because LaMelo Ball can't stay on the court any more than the other balls seem to be able to.
It feels very Grizzly-esque, where it was just they were injured and bad, so no one really cared.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they were supposed to be very good, even if everything broke right for them in terms of the roster. I will say, if you want some drama in a good way, just listen to their commentator, as you highlighted in that...
Oh, he's great.
...episode. Yeah, I mean, unbelievable energy, that dude. That guy is clearly the best part of the Hornets. All right, let's see. My next pick was...
It would have been Hornets. My pick, because you just did the Hornets.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You went with... Oh, you took your pick to South Beach, and you took the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the drama came, but really at the last minute, the current Jimmy Butler stuff that has started like once the offseason ended, mm-hmm. they kind of gave me a late surge there that I wasn't necessarily anticipating.
Yeah.
But
well, at the time, it was more about the fact that they had made it pretty clear that they wanted Dame Lillard, and then that didn't work out for them. So,
right.
like, was there going to be any residual effect of them, especially with Tyler Hero, like it being fairly obvious that he was going to be the person traded. And then it's like, hey, you're still here. Want to play really hard for us? I don't really feel like that ended up being that much of a factor. And I guess to some degree, you have to just understand that it's a business and like that's going to happen sometimes. But I'm sure it doesn't feel good to be the person who's going to be traded. Although then again, if I'm the person who's traded for Damian Lillard, I guess that means I'm pretty good. So,
right.
There, it's, I think you can frame it as like, well, they clearly, some other team thinks highly of me, but I guess maybe not because they didn't make the trade.
What number pick was that in the draft?
That was the 13th pick.
Okay, cool. Because yeah. At a certain point, we want to, when we're judging whether we're good or not, probably, I guess, 15 after. Now we should be in the thing where we should be raising ourselves if the teams were like kind of dramatic.
For
like,
sure.
I think we gotta, you know, I don't think you can get bonus points for like with pick number 20 picking a dramatic team.
No.
We were thinking they would be undramatic.
Exactly. That's the point. Yeah. As we get further along, if there's a team that ended up being dramatic that we thought wouldn't be, then clearly we didn't do a good job. And this is probably a decent example of this. I picked the Rockets next, and I don't feel like there was any drama with them whatsoever.
No, I think if anything, they would have been in the lower thing because they were just way better than expected. They were so good that like if you rank them by drama, and maybe that's what we should do to end this, maybe is we should like rank the actual teams by drama and then we can compare them to the order they were selected in the draft and then see. But like the Rockets were just so good. What's the drama?
They were, I guess my speculation was that at the time Kevin Porter Jr. had some pretty bad assault allegations, and
but thankfully they just got rid of him. Unlike the Hornets, they were just like, get out of here, dude. And that's how you avoid drama.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's see what the next pick was. Here we go. So this is like right in the middle point here.
Be perfectly boring / kind of.
I tell you what, you absolutely nailed it. The Cleveland Cavaliers, what a dull organization.
Oh,
the
yeah.
perfect number 15 pick.
Little bit of drama with the Donovan Mitchell extension stuff. Little bit of drama with they had, what was it, Evan Mobley or Jared Allen. One of their big guys got hurt, and then they were better with only one of them.
Yeah.
And then that was weird. And then Darius Garland had an injury. And so they were just like perfectly like, there was always a little bit of like, what's going on in the Cavs? And then not enough. Like no one watched the first round of the playoffs when it was them versus the Magic because it was like, well, so yeah, I think that is exactly 15. I think that I feel good about that pick.
Yeah, no, that there could not be a better middle of the road pick. Now my next pick. So this is 16 overall. The way I'm doing this is that I am reading through the transcript of our episode. And for this one, I feel like I need to read like the actual words. All right. So
did you pick the Knicks?
Yeah. So it says
doofus.
Adam, with the next pick in the draft, I only feel that it's right to do this to you because you did it to me. I'm going to go Mike. Wow. Adam with the New York Knickerbockers. Now in our recent interview, Mike, I have them 30th.
And you know what? I like they might end up there. There was no drama.
No, the vibes were so good all season.
The vibes were so good.
I mean, I guess if you want to attribute some amount of drama to injury stress, but like that, I feel like they persevered so much through all of that. And even losing in a game 7, like they truly got as far as they could have gone. Everybody was lauding them, rightfully so, and I feel like the future is very bright, and Brunson was like such a bright spot in this season. So yeah, I mean, might there be some drama this coming off season in terms of like, do they keep Randall, do they try to trade Randall, maybe, but like that's not what we're talking about right now. And I would tend to agree, if not 30th, they were certainly like towards the bottom of the league dramatically. I think really I just wanted to get you back.
Knew it. Let's go.
Yeah. But very, very funny to read our direct words from that time. Now, number 17, you went with the Detroit Pistons.
Okay. Yeah. And if anything, they should have been higher. They should have been higher. I thought that they were going to be
higher, meaning like less drama or more drama?
More drama. They should have been, given how bad they were. I think like if we're redrafting them, they're a top 10 drama team, no question. Because they were so bad. They lost so many games.
Yeah.
And they had just spent all that money on Monty Williams, that they've now fired. Like, they were way more dramatic. It's the rare instance where being really bad for a team with already low expectations resulted in drama. But they were just so much worse than people thought they would be. They were so bad.
Yep. They were really bad, but good for Monty Williams getting a huge amount of money and not having to work for the next, maybe ever.
Two teams to not work for them.
That's amazing.
Oh, delicious.
That's so funny. All right. My next pick, and I would say this one definitely should have been higher up in terms of having been more dramatic, was the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I get that. See, it's a weird inverse. We both thought they were going to be really good, so there wouldn't be drama. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were not. They got unceremoniously swept. Credit to Bradley Beal for holding himself accountable for saying, I would be shocked if we got swept. Well, I guess I'm shocked, or whatever. Something to that effect.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So lots of drama abound there. And also, like, I don't want to put KD in the same conversation as like a Harden or Kyrie Irving or Draymond, but like KD is kind of dramatic, right? Like,
100%.
Twitter wise, and just in terms of like vibes when he's unhappy, it seems like he's somewhat prickly in terms of like keeping him happy or like staying in his good graces.
He just bounces. Yeah. He leaves if it doesn't seem like a good thing. I think it's just all of the baggage surrounding like his quest to win a ring that people don't just credit to him being on the Warriors.
Right.
And at any stop of the way, your team automatically gets those expectations. And he was good enough to kind of demand like, let's do it. But I think this Phoenix thing has shown, okay, you are very good, but you are not like LeBron level of the world revolves around me.
Good. Sure.
Like LeBron has been doing the same kind of shit that KD's been doing, but LeBron like willed the Lakers to the 2020 championship. Like,
right.
It's just a little bit different levels of basketball intensity that really create that situation where LeBron can really kind of be like, make me happy. KD, it didn't work in Brooklyn, but you could point to all the other stuff that happened.
Right.
This time it was just like, okay, this is what happens when you come here and we have to trade everybody to get you. You have no depth. And then, like, the roster is just so thin outside of those three dudes. And Bradley Beal wasn't good.
Right.
So, like, ugh.
Talk about someone getting paid a lot of money to do not that much.
Yep.
All right, so we are now on to your next pick. This is number 19. And you went with the Milwaukee Bucks, who definitely should have been higher.
Gosh.
Wow, we fumbled that one.
That's quite bad. They might be...
Then again, we didn't know they were going to hire Doc Rivers in the middle of the season.
I know, but they might be. They're a top five team, I think, because they were really bad. Damian Lillard was not good. They had the whole thing. They fired Adrian Griffin, and it's one thing just to fire the new coach, but also to hire Doc fucking Rivers. Yeah, man. I think they're a top five team when we resort.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, that brings us to number 20. So we're now two-thirds of the way through. And my next pick was the reigning champion Denver Steamed Nuggets.
It's a good pick. I think they were probably at this level of drama where they, you know, especially given the playoff disappointment, I think pretty good.
Yeah, although I don't know. Like, if you're a Denver fan, how do you feel after the season? Do you feel like they underachieved? Like, was the expectation, they're going to repeat? Or
I think the expectation was that they were going to at least get to the finals. And I think that's pretty, like, everyone universally was saying, like, this is going to be a Nuggets-Celtics finals. And I do think losing, because they lost to the...
They lost to the Wolves in a really bizarre series where the Wolves won the first two games in Denver, then the Nuggets won the next two games in Minnesota. It ultimately got to a game seven, and the Nuggets lost pretty handily at home.
Yeah.
So right. I think that's probably, it's a little bit similar.
They didn't even get to the Western Conference Finals.
Correct.
I think that's for sure a disappointment.
Yeah, that's
season.
A good point. It felt a little similar to like the Celtics Heat series of the previous season where it got to a game seven in Boston and then the Heat still won. And if you're a Boston fan, you're like, what the hell? We got all the way here and now we still didn't get it done in front of our home fans. So I think that's a good pick. And I don't know if I think they're like a lot more dramatic than number 20, but
I think it's just that they're dramatic now because now there's concern. Now there's worry of we lost in the second round and given all these new tax problems, like we might not even be able to bring back the same team. Like we already lost Bruce Brown last year and that kind of hurt us. We might not be able to bring back KCP. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope might be on a different team and we just can't do anything about it. Like I think there's more worry now.
Your next pick, 21st overall, was the Atlanta Hawks. You felt like they were going to be better last year because they had a new coach and they ended the season on a good note with Quinn Snyder. Basically, what you were saying was they had to figure out how to make Trae Young and DeJounte Murray work together. But yeah, I mean, again, they didn't. But this is the bottom third of the draft. So at this point, you and I are trying to like rationalize, like, can we come up with any amount of drama that there is to be had?
I think they were more dramatic than bottom third, though, just because, again, it was pretty disappointing. I think theirs is more of like the potential of drama that happened. So I think I would probably have them more middle of the pack if we resorted them. But I think they are more dramatic than I selected them just because I think there were higher expectations. Like there was a good of Jalen Johnson, their rookie, playing really well. But then there was the bad of DeJounte and Trae not working. Mm-hmm. But then weirdly, that drama was like kind of quelled because they just kind of recognized like, well, we have to trade one of these guys. And they kind of at least came to that realization as opposed to living in denial.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. My next team was the Sacramento Kings. And the reason was actually completely accurate, which is like they were coming off of a year in which they arguably overachieved and like had a really like unexpectedly great season. And therefore, there was going to be high expectations. Could they live up to them? And I would argue that they didn't.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think there was a little bit of drama, but not a ton. And, you know, this was kind of a slight regression that people anticipated would probably happen.
Yeah. Your next pick, and we joked at the time about how differently this team landed based on the absence of certain players, was the Brooklyn Nets.
I think this is a pretty good pick.
Yeah.
They were literally just so irrelevant.
Your only suggestion of like what could cause drama would be Ben Simmons existing, which sure. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, like, was there any drama that you can think of?
The only thing was the Knicks consistently trying to recruit Mikal Bridges to their team, even though he's under contract. So I think like I think this is a good pick of like there was a slight bit of drama just because like they were so exceedingly boring and not good. And their whole thing was like, we've got Mikal and we're New York, too. Right. No one really cares. So I think this is actually a pretty accurate kind of drama pick. Like, yeah, a little bit of drama, but like not enough.
Right. All right. Next up, I picked the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I guess it's
That's
accurate
that
there was
That's
not
a very good
much
pick.
Drama because things were quite good. I don't think anyone in the world saw them as a number one overall seed. Like, that's wild.
No. I think if anything, what number pick was this? Like,
this would have been like 22 or 23, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty good because they were so good, but then there was the Josh Giddey thing. And I think that is enough to make them not in the top five of undramatic. Mm-hmm. The Josh Giddey thing did get kind of blown over, and it's unclear exactly what exactly did or didn't go down, / how much that family did or didn't want to get involved and all that. So
sure.
/ how much they did or didn't get paid to walk away from
it. Yeah, who the hell knows?
Who knows? But yeah, I think that's actually a really solid pick for them. Mostly undramatic. The Josh Giddey thing was weird.
Right. And the other thing that I used as kind of a rationale for drama was fear about Chet Holmgren being healthy after the Lisfranc fracture, which is like supposedly a pretty bad and uncommon thing and sometimes hard to recover from. Plus, like, he's such a gangly fella that like he just seems like he'll get injured. I'm very glad that he didn't. Arguably, the most drama from the team is how much everybody hated the Chet SGA What a Pro Wants commercial.
Oh, God, it was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. I think the other thing you could add more drama to them was the Gordon Hayward trade was so bad. It was so bad just because, and again, I don't think anyone could have predicted him being that much of a non-factor. And
yeah,
I think 23 is a pretty solid spot for them to be in.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. All right, let's see what we had next. All right, so your 25th overall pick was... That was 24 for me. And then you went with the Spurs.
I think it's great.
It's amazing how quick the news cycle is. I had completely forgotten about the Victor Wembanyama, Britney Spears thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. What a time.
Time flies.
Yeah. I don't even want to rehash it because it was ridiculous. But anyway, I guess it was mainly just like, how much expectations are going to be for Wembanyama and to what degree he would live up to them. I would say he exceeded them, arguably, despite how high they were.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of drama just because it was apparent how bad the non-Victor Wembanyama and Devin Vassell Spurs were.
Right.
So I think there was a little stuff, but not enough to make it high. So
yeah,
I feel pretty solid with them at 25.
My 26th pick, and I would say this was a good bottom five pick, the Utah Jazz. Like, I can't even think of a storyline from the Jazz this season. It was a Kessler regressing.
Just they're probably going to trade. Yeah, Kessler being not as good, Walker Kessler being a little disappointing. That's a factor in the Gobert trade looking better now, is that Walker Kessler had a great rookie year, and then this year was not fantastic, so it stings less. And then I guess the only thing was, like, they might trade Lauri Markkanen, but I think everyone kind of knew they wouldn't do it this year. They would do it later. Mm-hmm. So, nah, I think that's a pretty solid pick.
Yeah. Your next pick was the Indiana Pacers, and I would tend to agree with that. I mean, I feel like they had probably about as good of a season as you could have expected, right?
Yes, I think for the basketball, yes, but they should have been higher because they had the whole Ball fight with Giannis and the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was the Halliburton getting injured and then coming back because he wanted to make All-NBA so that he got the contract benefits, where if you make All-NBA, you can get a higher extension amount and all this stuff. So I think they were actually much more dramatic. I think this is actually a bad pick.
You predicted that Obi Toppin would suck.
Hey, and you know what? He wasn't, like, atrocious, but he was just the same. He was I'll pull up his numbers, but he was just the same. And I don't know why anyone thought it would be different. I mean, I think he's certainly a better fit on the Pacers. But in terms of basketball production, he averaged 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. And his previous year in the Knicks, it was 7.5 points. And 3 rebounds, so, like, slightly better.
I think he just is who he is. Yeah.
Yeah, he is who he is. He does dunks, and he doesn't play defense.
Sure.
Obi Toppin.
In a nutshell. My next pick was the Orlando Magic, who I would say very little drama and a pretty successful season.
Fantastic pick. Fantastic pick here.
Yeah. So we're down to the final two. Your last pick of the draft was the Trailblazers, which, like,
Yeah, everyone expected them to be really bad. They were really bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine.
And then that leaves me with the 30th overall pick, and also the team that probably finished 30th, the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
Did they have, was there drama there?
No, I would have put him a little higher because Jordan Poole was way worse than everyone thought he would be. Like, everyone was like, Jordan Poole's the guy on the team now. He'll probably have a million turnovers a game, but he'll probably, like, score 20 to 30 points a game, but he just, like, really took a dive. And I think there was some drama there of no one expected them to be good, but they thought he would be, like, a good stats, bad team guy, but he was bad stats, bad team. But then he did kind of figure it out towards the end of the year a little bit more. But yeah, I think they had slightly more drama. I wouldn't call them the least dramatic team in the league, but I wouldn't say that they were very dramatic because those expectations were just on the floor.
Right. All right, so that's it. That's the full recap. How did we do? I feel like we mostly did okay.
I think you did a better job at picking the dramatic teams. Mm-hmm. I think I might have done a slightly better job at picking the boring teams. I would think overall you had a better draft than me, though, just because I think you hit with those high drama picks more consistently.
Yeah. We clearly both missed on the Bucks. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And I think my worst pick was Knicks at 16.
I knew that was going to happen, baby. Let's go. Yeah. I don't care. That's all I'm going to take glee in, is I was right in putting them as low as possible.
Yeah.
Do we think we could quickly try and rank the 30 teams in the NBA based on drama?
We could try. Yeah.
Let's see if we can do it. Okay. So let's start most dramatic to least dramatic. Number one, I think the Bucks.
I think probably. Yeah. Especially because of the expectations.
Yeah. Number two, the Suns?
I'm with that, yeah.
And then three, maybe your Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I think the Warriors are up there too.
Lakers, I would also put up pretty high here.
Yeah, I think you can go Lakers 4. Cool. I think if we're talking, like, a top five, because there was someone you specifically said, like, they could be top five. Maybe it was the Bucks that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think I said the Bucks have to be top five. And then the Pistons, I think, have to be top 10.
I guess so.
I mean, who's more dramatic right now? I mean, I might take Pistons at 5 here. Just looking at all the
But are you assessing like things that have happened after the season ended? Because if so, then I feel like that, I don't know if that counts.
I think it was just because of how freaking bad they were. Like, they had to fire their entire front office. Like, they had to already been rebuilding for the past 5 years, and they just started a new rebuild. Like, that's the worst thing you can do is be bad on purpose for 5 years and be like, all right, guys, we're still at ground zero.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's go Pistons 5. Honestly, I'll put the Bulls at 6.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And then...
Sixers?
Oh, Sixers at 7 could be pretty good. And then, let's see. Sixers at 7, I think, makes sense. I could see the... It's hard. I feel like there's a lot of middle-of-the-pack kind of drama in this season. It wasn't like...
We can also just do a top 10 and be like, everyone else is behind them.
So yeah, how about this? Let's do our top 10 most dramatic, top 10 least dramatic.
Sure.
And then we can just leave out the bottom stuff.
Yeah.
So we need 3 more dramatic picks.
Maybe the Heat?
I was going to say the Heat, I like that. Yeah, I think it's very much exacerbated by the recent Jimmy Butler stuff, but I think there's enough going on there.
Clippers, Nuggets?
Yeah, I would say the Nuggets, just based on how disappointing those playoffs were for them.
Right.
I think that's created some late worry. And then just one more team to be in our top 10 of draft. I mean, honestly, maybe the Hawks.
Yeah.
I could see it be the Hawks just because of the weird stuff going on with like having to trade a guy. Or no, let's do the Pacers because of the... I think the Pacers with the thing with the beef with the Bucks, the in-season tournament thing, the Halliburton injury stuff, the fact that they were talking shit to the Knicks when they beat them and all that. Like, I think there was enough drama there where I think they should be top 10. Okay, let's see who's the least dramatic. Number one, your New York Knicks?
I guess so.
I think there could be another. I do think the Blazers, like... Did anyone say anything about the Blazers at all? The most drama would be that DeAndre Ayton couldn't go to a game because it was icy on his driveway.
Sure.
Like, that was
There's the Blazers, there's the Magic, there's the Cavs. Like, all of those are very, very boring teams.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, because it's not even...
I think Blazers Magic as top two is pretty good.
Yeah. Because the Knicks, it's hard to not be biased because, like, I hear about the Knicks so much living here. Whereas, like, I don't know, maybe if I lived in Orlando, I would hear more about the Magic. Somehow I think I wouldn't. Like, I don't know how much people really care,
Let's go Blazers, Magic, Jazz. I think that's a good top three.
Okay.
In terms of just, like, either the expectations were good and things were fine.
Honestly, the Nets are up there.
The Nets, yeah. But you know who's even higher, I think? I think maybe the Timberwolves, because they were so good.
Right.
Like, they were
and
so good,
Thunder.
I
would put the
cares.
Timberwolves and Thunder both in that category.
Yeah, Thunder, I think a little lower because of the Josh Giddey thing.
That's fair, yeah.
That was enough to be kind of weird. But yeah, so sorry, who had you just said? The Nets?
Yeah.
Let's go Nets, Wolves as the fifth least dramatic team. And then maybe the Spurs? There really was not much going on. Wemby was good. Like, what's not to love? And then... Maybe at this point we do like Wizards, or no? How about Knicks here, then Wizards, and then Thunder, and then, I mean, honestly, the Celtics were not that dramatic. Like, I think there was enough drama of worry that there was enough rumbling of like, can they do it? And they kept every time they lost a game, it was like DEFCON 1 of, oh my God, because every time they lost, it was by a million points, it seemed like. So yeah, I think them at 10. Cool. We've resorted. We've reseeded. I think what we've learned is that drama is unpredictable, completely unpredictable.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, I had the Mavericks at number 2, and I think we could have made the case for them being a top 10 least dramatic team. So
100%.
You just never know. And that's why they play the games. And I'm already excited for the coming drama draft in a few months or whenever it is that we do it. But again, I mean, we're trailblazers here, not the Portland kind, but the kind that hold ourselves accountable for our hot takes, whether they be good or bad.
Yeah, drama draft is fun. I would love to start incorporating it. Maybe next WNBA season we should do a drama draft.
For sure.
I feel like it's hard because the NBA season, like WNBA starts when NBA is in playoffs, so there's just so much drama for us to cover on the pod. But I like the idea of trying to do a WNBA version.
Absolutely,
in the future. Especially, it's only 12 teams. Like, It's not that hard. We just each got to come up with 6 picks. Like, we can make that happen. Easy peasy.
Absolutely. Cool. Yep.
All righty. Well, what a fun little draft. Feel free to reach out to us and let us know who you think. Maybe we should do another poll of sorts to like reassess. But I feel like we've done a good breakdown of our own teams. And I am more than happy to hand you the trophy of I think you had a better overall draft.
Yeah.
But I will have my tiny. It's like Tatum and Brown, right? You won the big championship, but I get the little tiny finals MVP one that says the Knicks weren't dramatic.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess we'll have to go back and see what our Knicks Bulls bets were. I don't think it's going to end well for me.
God.
I know we did
no.
something. But I think we knew that the Knicks would be a lot better, so we did something that like was a little outside of the box, but I can't recall.
Yeah, I couldn't recall either. Things have changed, time flies, and we have to win some softball games tomorrow.
Yes,
at the time of recording.
We do.
We are fresh off of a very good win in our Monday league, and now we have 1 and then up to 2 if we win that first game, important games tomorrow.
I'm very excited.
As long as AJ doesn't show up, I feel good about our odds.
He better know that he's got
wouldn't
no
it be wild? Wouldn't
no
it be
business.
Wild, though, if he showed up in the second round of the playoffs?
just for the finals?
Just for the semifinals and the finals?
Oh, my God. I don't even want that energy in the world.
Nope.
We're going to have a great time.
Yeah, we'll keep it out. We'll keep it out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Horse. Horse is hosted by Adam Amawala and Mike Schubert. Our editor is Kensei Suramaki. The website is by Kelly Schubert. The art is by Allison Wakeman. The music is by Bettina Campomanes. And the social media is by both of the Horse Boys.
Thank you to our producer-level patrons, Polly Burge, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed. Steph Curry can hit threes, but he can't spin a basketball on his finger.
Bang, 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 bang.
I got to learn the Globetrotters whistling thing.
Oh, better. That's what that was. Hi, Trish, Chase Underulo, Haley Zink, Naked Rachel, Sidney Crosby as a vampire, Chelsea's cousin Ginger, Spurs boy balls to the walls, and Mats Furley. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Horse Hoops and on Twitter at Horse_Hoops because...
Drake actually ran the Horse Hoops account. And it's just been ethered.
As he should have been.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to support the Horse Boys, you can go to patreon.com/horsehoops. You can get access to physical merch. You can get digital merch. You can get bonus audio, bonus video, bonus writing, lots of cool stuff. And then you can go to horsehoops.com/merch to get Subnerd shirts and other digital stuff that is not exclusive to patrons. But as we close this episode out, we will do it in the way that we do every episode by putting our hands in the middle and saying something on the count of 3. What are we feeling?
They not like us.
Ooh, I love it. Yes, good. We will cement ourselves as on the Kendrick side of things, and we will say they not like us on 3. 1, 2, 3.
They not like us.
Sorry, Drake.
Sorry, bud.
Never liked your music.
That's all right. You're a billionaire. You'll be fine.
Bye. It's also weird what you do. Bye.